Okay, we're going to continue in the Siddur this week. You'll say it's Yom Kippur, we should do Yom Kippur stuff. So every year at this time, when I prepare the Machzor, I am always reminded of a comment in the Sefer, Yosher Divrei Emes, where the author writes that in reality, we come to Yom Kippur, we come to Rosh Hashanah, and we focus on Musaf, and we focus on all the fancy parts and the different parts, and we lose track of Sukkot Zimra, and Shacharis, and Shema, and Aleinu, and he explains that that's not the way it's supposed to work. You're supposed to bring everything to the table on Rosh Yom Kippur. You don't just ignore the usual stuff of the year, but you need to be mechazik, you need to strengthen in the plain old regular stuff of the year as well. So, at least, we should come into Yom Kippur, hopefully at least strengthened in the parts of Pesukei Zimra that we already discussed, but then certainly, hopefully tonight, we'll appreciate this piece a little bit more. We, last time, when we discussed Birchas HaShachar, we ended off with the last of Gomel Chasidim Tovim Lema Yisrael. So in one sitter, what comes after that is the Yihi Ratzon. Now, this Yihi Ratzon is a Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos, Daf Tzayin, tells us as follows, Rebbe Bustard Salusei Amar Hachi. Rebbe, after he would be done davening, he would recite the following thing. This should all be familiar to you. Yiratzom lefanecha Hashem Elokeinu v'lokei avoseinu shetzatzilenu me'azei panim. That Hashem should save me from, I guess, arrogance, azus panim. So Rashi there says, what does azei panim mean? Rashi says that azei panim means that people shouldn't tease me. That people should not tease me and bother me throughout the day. The Abu Draham says that azei panim means that people shouldn't slander me. But, again, the same idea. Azei panim means that Hashem should save me from people who are saying not nice things to me. Umei azus panim, Hashem should save me from azus panim. Rashi says that people shouldn't spread slander about me. That which is similar to what the Avud Rav said before. Specifically, says Rashi, that I am a mamzer. People shouldn't say that I'm a mamzer. That was a big thing back then. Not so much anymore. But that's the type of slander. That's the azus panim. The Avud Rav says, Azus Panim means that I shouldn't be arrogant. So we're asking Hashem that people should not be arrogant and mean to me, and I should not be arrogant and mean towards other people. Umi Adam Ra, Umi Pega Ra, Umi Yetzer Ra, Umi Chaver Ra, Umi Shachin Ra. All different types of bad friends. The Avud Ram says that a Shachin Ra means that we shouldn't get wrapped up with the wrong crowd. It's not so easy. It's not so easy to make sure we stay on the right path and stay with the right people, right? The Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, Harchek Mishachin Ra, you should stay away from a bad neighbor. And this is what we mean over here as well. And then we say, Umi Satan Hamashchis, Umi Din Kasha, Umi Baal Din Kasha, Hashem should save me from the Satan, from a harsh trial, and from a harsh opponent, Bein Shu Ben Bris, Bein Shen Ben Bris, and Ben Bris means someone who doesn't have Bris Milah, i.e., a non-Jew. And that is the Hiratzon that is found in the Gemara in Brachos. And it's pretty straightforward. It's a nice tefillah. Why is it over here after Birchas HaShachar? I don't know. It's not clear why it's placed over here. The Abu Draham is the one who says that it should be placed after Birchas HaShachar. And this is where it is placed in the Siddur of the Machzor Vitri, Rosimcha Vitri, the Talmud of Rashi. In Nusach Sfard, anybody heard of Nusach Sfard? In Nusach Sfard, they added a bunch of other stuff that's not in the Gemara. But this as far does it all the time, so whatever. Okay, so that is the Hiratzon. Let's move on to the next thing in your Siddurim, and that is the Parsha of the Akedah, the telling of the story of Akedas Yitzchak. So what is this doing over here? Why are we reciting the Akedah in the morning? Now, many people, I assume, is that most people skip the Akedah. The reason, as we'll see in a moment, is because it really is a later addition to the Siddur. If you only have so much time in the morning, the Akedah, generally, we say things that are later to the Siddur, not originally in the Siddur, from the days of Chazal, are some of the first things that we kind of let go if we're late. So the Akedah is kind of late. The earliest source is the Tur. The Tur writes, and the Shulchan Aruch writes in the beginning of Siman Aleph and Shulchan Aruch, that we should recite the Parsha of the Akedah before Shacharis, because it mentions the Zechus Avos, the merits of our forefathers, before Hashem, and it humbles us, just like Yitzchak surrendered himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so too we should remind ourselves to subjugate ourselves before Hashem as well. The Svardim recite the Pasuk in Vayikra, Aleph of Ishachar Oso, in Vayikra Rabbah says that when we say this verse, it reminds Hashem of Akedas Yitzchak. They say other things as well. And afterwards, we say Ribono Shel Olam, Kamo Shekavash Avraham is Avinu, just like Avraham overcame himself, so to Hashem, you should help us again. Again, all different discussions of how to do the Parsha of Akedas Yitzchak. The Arizal says that if you say the Parsha of the Akedah with Kavana, you will get Kapara, as if you did Teshuva Shalema. And therefore, we find many Kabbalistic sources talking about the importance of the Akedah as well. The Bir Hagra, there in Shulchan Aruch, the beginning of Siman Aleph, cites Rashi in the Gemara Neuman Daf Chachas, 28b. There, he cites a Yerushalmi, which says that they would mention Zuchus Avos. Before they would bring the Korban Tamid, the first Korban in the morning of Beis HaMikdash, they would talk about the merit of our forefathers and everything they did for us and all these nice things as well. So the Vilna Gaon says, we do the same thing in our davening as well. Just like in the Beis HaMikdash, they would mention the merit and the actions of our forefathers, so too we do it as well, and that's the reason why we recite this section of the Akedah in our davening. He also cites the Bereishis Rabbah. The Bereishis Rabbah in Perek Nun Vav says, Yehi Ratzon Lefanecha, Hashem Elokeinu, that Avram said it should be Hashem's will, B'sha Shayu Banav Shal Yitzchak, when the children of Yitzchak, Boim Ladei Averus, will come to sin, Umasim Roim, and do bad things, T'yeh Nizkar Lahem Osa HaKedah, V'tismale Alehem Rachamim, remember Hashem, remember what happened by the Akedas Yitzchak. We go back again, we try to invoke that, we really try to milk the Akedas Yitzchak for everything we can and try to get everything we can out of it. And we say, sometimes we mess up, remember what Yitzchak Avinu did when he brought himself on the Akedah. The Seder Hayom, is a classic work on the Seder Hayom, the order of the day and davening. So he says that we begin with the Parshas Akedah to show that we have nothing to rely on except for the merit of our forefathers, and that is what has sustained us in Galus. That's what keeps us going. And the Akedah is a very big deal. Akedah is a really big deal in Judaism. And therefore, we want to continue and mention that Akedah in order to have all of the merits possible before we begin davening as well, so we can have extra rachmim, and Hashem will accept our tefilos. And he says that a Baal Nefesh means like someone who's really, really careful, really, really firm, will not ignore reciting this, and will see good things for them, and all of Klal Yisrael who recite the Parsha of the Akedah. So a lot of nice promises and brachos come along with it as well. Some say the Parsha of the Akedah is here to connect to the Maseiros Yitzchak of Yitzchak, the bracha of HaMikadesh Shmo Barabim, which we'll talk about in a moment. Now, that again, approach number one to the Akedah is that the purpose of it is to remind us of Zuchus Avos, the merit of our forefathers, and to invoke it before davening. That's our Kavanah. The second approach is really, it is an introduction to reciting Korbanos, which is probably the next thing we'll talk about whenever we meet, but that's the next thing that we're going to talk about then. So this is really an introduction to the Parsha of Korbanos. The Ber Heitev and the Mishnah Brura write that you should recite the Parsha's Akedah before Korbanos, and that's why it's here in the beginning of the Siddur, and this is based on the Arizal, and the Malbim in the Arsos Achaim explains, the Malbim wrote the Malbim on Chumash, but the Malbim also wrote a commentary on Shulchan Aruch. He didn't get very far, he only wrote on the beginning part of Shulchan Aruch, and then he stopped, but that's a story why for another time. So the Malbim says that all Korbanos contain a hint of a Zecher to Akedas Yitzchak, because, and the Malbim repeats this in Bereishis Chav Beis. I highly recommend looking at this Malbim, where he explains what Korbanos are about. And the Malbim says that every Korban is really modeled after Akedas Yitzchak. What is Akedas Yitzchak? Somebody who was prepared, somebody who wanted to, you know, bring himself to Hashem, wanted to sacrifice everything for Hashem, but he didn't. He had the Kavanah to do so, but he didn't, and instead he brought a ram. Every Korban is simply a copycat of the events of Akedas Yitzchak, says the Malbim. You want to be Moser Nefesh, you want to bring closer to Hashem, you want to do something, either, you know, sacrifice oneself, whatever it may be. And what do? We stop and we say, no, but I take the machshavas, I take the thoughts of wanting to do something extreme for Hashem and channeling it into a korban, a cow, a ram, a sheep, a bird, whatever it may be. And he says that is why it makes sense that this is the introduction to korbanos. Because all korbanos are based on the premise of Akedas Yitzchak, that we look to Yitzchak Avinu, look how he gave his life and soul, but in the end he channeled that all into an animal instead. The Ramban in Breishis Chav Beis explains that Hashem made Avram travel 3 days to Har HaMoriah. Why did he make him schlep around like this? Because he wanted the Akedah to take place and its merit and rest on the same location where the Beis HaMikdash would be. Why did Hashem make Avram schlep around the whole country for 3 days? He could have done it right where he was. Why do you have to go to this mountain? Because he's setting the precedent. He's setting the spirit of what all future Kabbalos will be by having Akedah Yitzchak there. Good. So that is the Akedah. Let's move on to the next thing, which we'll discuss this evening. And the last thing, that is the major paragraph of La'olam, Yehi Adam, Yirei Shemayim. What is this about? We're going to suggest two approaches to what we are saying over here. Why are we saying this? Why is it being shoved right before Pesukei Zimra? What are we trying to accomplish? What is our kavanah, our intention, when we recite this section of davening? The paragraph of La'olam Yehi Adam is very ancient. It is very, very old. It is mentioned in its entirety in the Tana Debe Eliyahu Rabbah. The Tana Debe Eliyahu Rabbah are midrashim from the base midrash of Eliyahu HaNavi. It is very ancient and old tefillah. The Nusach is brought in its entirety in the Siddur of Rav Amram Gon, so we know it's in one of the earliest Siddurim as well, and it's brought in the Machzor Vitri, and even in the Siddur of the Rambam. So let's not treat this lightly. This is an ancient, important part of the davening that goes all the way back to even before the beginning of the Siddur. The Beis Yosef in Siman Memvav cites the Shiboli HaLeket, who writes that the Kadmonim, the earlier generations, would recite it before Pesukei Zimra, and he goes on to explain it was added to the Siddur in generations of persecution. And that's going to be our first approach tonight. That all has to do with persecution, Shas HaShmad, when the Jewish people were being afflicted and under terrible situation. What happened? The Jewish people could not be Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim publicly. They couldn't declare Hashem's oneness, say Shema publicly. So they had to do it in privately. And that's going to talk about, you know, Beseser, Begilui, as we'll talk about in a moment. And this is why it concludes, Baruch, Baruch Mekadosh Shemo Barabim. Because we want to be Mekadosh Shemayim in public. And this is where the tefillah comes from. This is where it was inserted into davening, to replace in some way davening when they were unable to make a Kiddush Hashem in public. And that's the origin according to this approach. Let's talk about this expression, Yirei Shemayim Beseser Ubegalui. What does it mean to have Yirei Shemayim privately and publicly? So, as noted, it was originally written for cases of people who were being persecuted and hiding. And that's why it only, according to some nuschos, it says Yirei Shemayim only Beseser. It doesn't say Begalui, according to some versions. The Ritva on Avodah Zarah says, and if a person does tshuva privately, it's accepted, and the person shouldn't think that they need to make a public display of repentance. And that's what it means to be Yirei Shemayim Beseser. You don't always have to put your Yirei Shemayim on display. You don't always have to show how frum you are. You can do things privately. You and Hashem, not everybody needs to know your thoughts about this, and Baruch Hashem that, and Baruch Hashem this. You can keep those things to yourself, and you can grow and be effective without showing it begalui. Yirei Shemayim Beseser. Yirei Shemayim in private, in a quiet area, is the most important thing, according to this understanding. Now, regarding the concept of Beseser Begaloi, the Pri Chadash cites a Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos tells the story of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and he's on his deathbed. This is on Daf Chav Ches Amud Beis. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is on his deathbed, and the students come in to see him, and there's a whole fantastic conversation. We could spend days just talking about that conversation. But in the middle of that conversation, the Talmidim say, Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, give us a bracha. So he tells them, Hiratzon should say, Mori Shemayim Aleichem, Kamori Basvadam. It should be Hashem's will that your fear of Hashem should be like the fear you have of other people. So the Talmidim say, really? That's it? We shouldn't fear Hashem more than you fear other people? So Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says, Halavai, that you should have the same yira for Hashem that you have for other people. Because you care what other people see you do, you care when other people are around, you care what people know if you're doing the right thing or the wrong thing. That's how we are as human beings. Halavai, that you should have the same Yirei Shemayim. You should care about Hashem as much as you care about the opinion of other people. That is some sharp mussar. Now, what's the point of that? That it seems that apparently he's telling you that Yirei Shemayim alone, when nobody is around, needs to be balanced at the same Yirei Shemayim as if somebody else is around. That's what it means to have Yirei Shemayim Beseser Begalui. Act the same way you would privately as you would publicly. The Baal Shem Tov apparently was against the Nusach of Beseser Begaloi. In the Baal Shem Tov Al-Torah in Parshas Balak, it says that the purpose of Yiras Shamayim should be pnimius, in one's inner avoda, and not revealed. And therefore, he thinks the Nusach of L'Olah Adam in Yiras Shamayim Beseser Begaloi is incorrect. He thinks it shouldn't say Galoi, it should only be Beseser. Okay, the minig is not like the Baal Shem Tov, or at least as reported in the names of the Baal Shem Tov. The Yismach Moshe writes in Parshas Noach that he says that serving Hashem b'seisr v'galui means that you serve Hashem publicly, but on the inside, you're sincere and pure nevodas Hashem, as if there's nobody else there. That's the highest level of serving Hashem. You serve Hashem publicly, you go to shul, you daven in a minyan, you daven with everybody else, you do mitzvos, you give tzedakah, you do chesed, you go to learn Torah, you go to a shir, and it's not just that you're at the shir because it looks nice that you're at the shir. Really, your avodah is pnimi, it's inside, it's not for anybody else, and your kavana, you would be here at the shir even if nobody else was there. Meaning you'd be just as interested even if it wasn't a chavra, even if it wasn't a chabura, you'd be just as interested because the avodah is pnimi, it's inner, even though you're doing it outward. That's a high level of Yiras Shamayim. Okay, let's move on to the next piece. So it then says, Aval anachnu amcha b'nei brisacha, right? But you, your children. So, there, Rav Shach, in the Sefer Shimusha Shel Torah, so he tells the story of the Ger Tzedek of Vilna, the Graf Patutsky, the famous Avram Ger Tzedek, who converted to Judaism, who was a count in a Polish court, and his conversion led to a lot of controversy because he converted to Judaism, which was a hated religion then. And eventually he was killed al Kiddush Hashem. The Vilna Gaon famously had the option to get him out, and he didn't want to get out, because he wanted to fill the mitzvah of V'hafta Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha u'b'chol nafshecha. And there's a lot to unpack about that episode. But for now, the Masorah is that when the Ger Tzedek of Vilna was being led out to die al Kiddush Hashem, he's saying, Aval anachnu amcha b'nei brisecha b'nei Avram o'avecha sh'nishpata lo b'har Moriah. He's saying that line in a tune. And he finished it, Baruch ha-mekadesh shemo b'rabim. He made a bracha on dying al Kiddush Hashem. That's how he viewed it. He viewed that line as a bracha on making Kiddush Hashem. So the Chafetz Chaim said in the name of the Vilna Gaon that there would have been, if there would have been 10 Jews present when he made that bracha, the non-Jews did not allow any Jews present for that moment of Kiddush Hashem. The Vilna Gaon said if there would have been 10 Jews present at that time to answer Amen, the Mashiach would have come right away. But Jews were not allowed to be there. The Yesod V'Shorash HaAvodah of Alexander Ziskind, his classic work on the Siddur and Kabbalah, he snuck in. He dressed up as a peasant, as a non-Jewish peasant, and he stepped and he walked into the place where the execution, the burning, they burnt him alive, where the burning was taking place, and he risked his life to be present at the execution. He was the only Jew present, and he answered Amen to the bracha of the Ger Tzedek of Vilna. In Volozhin, they would sing the Niggun of the Ger Tzedek to Aval Anachnu Amcha B'nei Brisacha B'nei Avram O'Avecha. You can actually find it online. I don't know what you have to Google exactly, but I think if you Google, you know, the song of the righteous, of the Ger Tzedek of Vilna, something like that, you can actually find the recorded that was transmitted and handed down. Rav Shach said that he knew a Jew from Slutsk named Rav Ruvain Denneberger who suffered terribly in life. In every Motzei Yom Kippur, this Jew and Rav Yisrael Zalman Meltzer would dance together to the Niggun of the Graf Patutsky, the Ger Tzedek of Vilna, to the words of Aval Anachnu. So that line contains significance, certainly in the world of the yeshivas, representing the understanding of our special nature and our willingness that if it would be the will of Hashem, that would be Moser Nefesh and give up our lives and die al Kiddush Hashem. That is the Kavana to have at that moment as well. Let's turn now to the recitation of Shema. We recite Shema, right? We say, we get to the end of that section, and there's one line of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, right there. So what are we doing over here? So the Shiboi Aleket, the one who said it's all about times of persecution, so he says the whole idea of Ribon Kol Ha'amim is that Shema should be said in the generations where they were persecuted, and people would miyachad Shem Hashem privately. That's why Shema's there. It's all about not being able to make a Kiddush Hashem in public, we have to be in hiding, and the whole tefillah is about serving Hashem in hiding, because that's his perspective on this tefillah. However, The Beis Yosef cites the Ra'ah. The Ra'ah in his Chedushim on Brachos and Daf Yud Gimel, who says that we say Ribono Shel Olam, this section, before Shachris, so that we can be Yotzei Shema Min HaTorah. He says the whole paragraph has nothing to do with persecution. It's all about saying Shema. And then we say it with Brachos on the Derabbanan later on, right? You say Shema now, and then you say Shema later on in Birchas Kriya Shema. The Torah cites Rav Yehuda HaChassid, who says that sometimes the davening goes longer, and you're going to miss Zman Kriya Shema. So what happened? Chazal put Shema early in the Siddur, just in case your davening is going to go after the Zman, the time for Kriya Shema. So they implanted it in the beginning of the Siddur, just in case. And that is what it's about. It's nothing to do with persecution, nothing to do with Shmad or Kiddush Hashem. It's all about a safety net to make sure we have Shema earlier in the davening, in case davening goes long as well. However, you only have to recite one pasuk, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, because that is the mitzvah of Shema, according to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi in the Gemara. He felt you fulfilled the mitzvah of Shema just by reciting Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And that is what we have in our Seder. However, the Ra'ah goes on to question this, and he says, the minhag doesn't make any sense. You should, it's better to recite Shema midoraisa to fulfill the mitzvah from the Torah level later on with its brachos. Why am I saying it now without Birchas Kriya Shema? I'm missing something. I'm missing the whole essence of the mitzvah. I should be saying Shema with its brachos. Why am I saying it now? Therefore, he would not recite the pasuk at this point. The Ra'ah says he would say, V'yemiyachadim ha'shimcha pamayim bi'ava v'yomrim, and he would say, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. But he wouldn't leave out half of the pasuk, because he didn't want to fulfill the mitzvah d'orais of Shema at that moment. He would have it there because that's the minug, to have it in there. It's an ancient tefillah. But he didn't want to fulfill the mitzvah d'orais of tefillah. So he'd only say half the pasuk until later on the Vilna Gaon had the same minug as well. So the Beis Yosef comes and defends the minug to say the whole verse of Shema. What are we doing over here? The Beis Yosef says that they wanted to be mahader. They wanted to have ideally a hiddur mitzvah and to recite Shema before Netzach Amah. Now, most people are not reciting Shema before Netzach Amah. Even if you wake up early, okay, nowadays we're talking around like in the 6:20, 6:30 range. Perhaps we could get it around there, but most people are not saying it. So the Beis Yosef says, nevertheless, earlier the better. The earlier you say Shema in the morning, before sunrise, the better. So even if you could say it at 7:50, but now you're going to say it at 7:30, that's a greater hiddur mitzvah. The earlier you can say Shema is the better, says the Beis Yosef. And he cites Yerushalmi that supports the Megan as well, meaning, according to the Beis Yosef, it's not about Zrizim Makdivim Mitzvos. Rather, it's a fulfillment of Uvkumecha, right? You should say Shema when you get up in the morning. The more you can say Shema closer to Uvkumecha when you get out of bed, the greater the mitzvah it is. That's what the Beis Yosef is saying, and therefore, you're right. What's the time difference going to be between Ribono Kol Amim and Shema later on? 15 minutes? 20 minutes? A half hour? What's the time difference going to be? Nevertheless, says the Beis Yosef, the earlier you can say Shema, the better it is for the mitzvah. Also, we find other areas where we do mitzvahs multiple times because we want to do it better. Where else do we do this? We have Kiddush on Leil Shabbos, right? We say Vayechulu in Shul, and then we say Vayechulu again when we say Kiddush when we get home, right? Or what about, Sukkos, this coming Sukkos. Many people have the minug to wave Lulav right in the morning in the Sukkah and then go to Shul and wave Lulav again, right? I have an opportunity to do the mitzvah as soon as possible. Let me do it now. And then I'll do it again later on, perhaps in a different environment. And that's the same thing over here. Let's say Shema as soon as possible to fulfill the Torah commandment as soon as we can, and then we'll say it again later on. The Beis Yosef says that it's important to say Baruch Shein Kvod Malchus Olam Vod afterwards, because if you don't, it just looks like you're talking about saying Shema. You're not actually saying Shema. You're talking about the mitzvah instead of actually doing the mitzvah. But if I say Baruch Shein, it shows that my kavanah is Yichud Hashem, to focus on Hashem and to talk about Hashem's oneness in the world. Let's just now conclude with the bracha itself. Baruch Mekadesh Shmo Barabim. The Torah says that the section of Atahu Ad Shalom Nivra Olam comes from the Yerushalmi. Now, we don't have this Yerushalmi, but there is a Yalkut Shemoni in Parshas Eschanan, which says the paragraph is recited by Malachi Asharis, and it seems the Malachim would sing the praises of the Jewish people for being Miyachid Shmo, to talking about the unity and the oneness of Hashem. So that section comes from the Malachim. We saw the above Shibboleth HaLeket says that it's all about Shema because of Shas HaShema, and we were being persecuted. And Baruch HaMekadosh Shmo Barabim is because they weren't able to be Mekadosh Shmo Barabim, so they made a bracha, they should be able to be Zocha to that later on. The Minhag Ashkenaz is to say Shem Hashem. We say Baruch Atah Hashem when we say the bracha, and the Minhag Nusa Sfard and Sfardim is to say Baruch Shem without Shem Hashem in the bracha as well. So let's just wrap it up. Practically, there are two reasons for La'olam Yehi Adam and Ribon Kol Amen. One kavana is that Shema can be read as early as possible, and therefore our kavana should be that we are zocha to recite Shema. The major kavana of what we're talking about tonight is to have kavana that, wow, look at the Jewish people, we are amazing, we are so special that we have this opportunity to say Shema, have Yichud Hashem, talk about Hashem's oneness. What a tremendous gift, pleasure, and privilege. That is approach number one, one type of kavana you can have during the section. And the other is to have the kavana that this was established during times of persecution, and it really was a tefillah about Kiddush Hashem, and opportunities of Kiddush Hashem when they are not available to us. That is the second kavana available. The Yesod B'Shar Shavoda often talks about this level of davening. He often invokes the principle of thinking in your mind, imagining, closing your eyes and thinking of, are you prepared to give your life on Kiddush Hashem? How would you think, imagine through it, could you do it? What would it look like to have that imagery in your mind? And this is one of the sections where he talks about it. This is a big idea in his writings, to be able to mentally conjure up the possibility that one would be prepared to give their life in the time when it would be necessary in order to be Mekadosh Shem Shemayim. And that, for him, is the theme, and that's the concept of what's going on in these tefillos. Fine, we'll stop here, and we will continue Bezras Hashem next time we can.